All right, so happy 2026. It's a new year. It's going to be an awesome year this year. And I want to encourage you, stay for lunch. We're having Trisha's favorite Mexican food, El Pollo Loco. And then you want to hear the Pokorobos, what's been happening with them in Japan. They planted a church in Japan. And so please stay for that. It'll be awesome. Well, traditionally, the first Sunday of the year, I give the vision for that year. So today's the vision for 2026. And I want to start with the illustration. Okay, I want to start with the illustration. So I need a volunteer. Garrett. Eli, you volunteer a lot. So I wish you just stand right here, okay? And put this on. Okay, can you see?
Nope.
Okay, I'll at least get you started, okay? And I want you to step onto the stage and walk across the whole stage, okay? Okay, that's good. That serves its purpose. That's good. You can take it off. Let's give Garrett a hand. Thank you. If you can't see, if you don't have vision, it's really hard to know where to go and what to do. As the Bible says, right? Without vision, people perish. And so today, this is the vision for 2026, and it basically has three elements. I really believe this is the vision for us for this year, and Henry Chi will be happy because it's all with S's. He loves alliteration. So it's surrender, serve, and shine. That's the vision. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning. I think this is going to be two-parter, so I'm going to break this message up into two parts. But let's start with the first one, surrender. You know, our leadership, we pray about the direction, we pray about the vision for the coming year. We kind of share stories about what the Lord's doing and all of you and in our lives. And our leadership wanted to bring back, by popular demand, surrender. Wholehearted surrender. Because the foundation of our life with the Lord, when you first receive Jesus, it starts with surrender. It starts with surrender. You know, oftentimes we think, when we hear the word surrender, we think of what we have to give up. What we're going to lose in the process. And we get sad, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and we grieve, and we have a hard time. But as we learned at our retreat from Pastor Sam, surrender is not about what we have to lose. But surrender is about what we have to gain in Jesus. This morning when I was driving to church, I was thinking about this theme, and I felt like the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, the things that you're unwilling to surrender to the Lord is the degree to which you lock out Jesus from moving in your life. The less you're surrendered, the less of Jesus you will have in your life. For example, if you're not willing to surrender your finances to the Lord, Jesus cannot come in and move in your finances to give you abundance, to bless you, to move. Parents, if you're not willing to surrender your kids and their future and their well-being to the Lord, Jesus cannot come in to move in their lives the way he wants to. If you're not willing to surrender your future and your career to the Lord, you will be just moving in your career and trying to fulfill God's purpose for you without Jesus being in the midst of your career, your calling, your purpose, your destiny. And it goes without saying, if you haven't ever surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've not received Jesus, then Jesus is no part of you. You will not experience the life, the future, the abundance, the rivers of living water that he wants for you. Maybe you're feeling like you read the Bible and you hear about, I want my joy to be full in you. I came that you might have abundant life and have it to the full. And you might feel like, well, I don't experience that. I don't feel like that in my life. Maybe it's because there are many areas that you haven't surrendered to him. And so Jesus cannot touch those areas of your life. We're going to look at a story, and I think it's a cute story. It's an awesome, cute story about someone that surrenders. And as I read the story, I want you to look for the boy, the young boy in the story. It's from John chapter 6. I love this parable. I love this story. Not parable. I love this story. John chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Let me read it for you. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two fish. But what is that for this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. So imagine the scene. Put yourself back there, Jesus' time in the Galilee region. Picture yourself, and there's this huge crowd that's been following Jesus all day because he's been healing the sick. He's been doing all these miracles, and they've been following him all day, and they're tired, and they're hot, and they're hungry. And so Jesus turns to Philip in the midst of this, seeing these huge crowds of people. And basically, he says to Philip, "How can we feed all these people, Philip?" We learned in the story that it says there's 5,000, what? Men. So if you count the women and the children, it's probably about 10,000, over 10,000 people. And so Jesus asks him, "How are we going to feed all these people, guys? Philip, how are we going to feed all these people?" And then Philip says, "If we work for months and months, we won't have enough money to feed these people." And all the disciples, I'm sure they're listening in, they're going, "Yeah, come on, Jesus, send them away." And then, you know, Jesus gives them that look like, "What you gonna do? What you gonna do?" Right? So then they said, "Okay, what do we do? They huddle together. "Okay, well, let's just see if anyone has food in this whole crowd." So the disciples start dispersing, And they start going out and they say, anyone have food? Any, do you have food? Do you have any food? The master needs food. Anyone have food? They start going out into the crowd. Now, in the crowd, it says, there's this young boy. There's a young boy. And kind of think about this young boy. What's gone on in his day? His parents have told him, you know, we're going to go hear that prophet. We're going to hear that teacher, Jesus. We've always been doing miracles, so we're going to go out and hear his teaching and follow him. The boy knows, oh, no. If we go and hear Jesus, we're going to be out all day following him. I know my parents, they're going to keep fun, and it's pretty awesome. Like, it's like going to the circus or something. There's all kinds of stuff happening, but we're going to be out there all day. I'm going to get hungry. I'm going to pack myself a little lunch. So he goes off, and it says loaves of bread, but it's really little bread cakes. So he packs up 5 little bread cakes and 2 little sardines, right, like fish. He puts it in his little knapsack. He goes, okay, I'm set. So there, yeah, sure enough, they're following Jesus. They see all kinds of amazing things. They're out all day, tired. And then, you know, he goes away. And then his parents, you know, they're like those diehards. They're like, we want to see more. Let's go look for him. The whole crowd, they go look for Jesus. And there he is. And then, right, they're just standing there. And then all of a sudden, his followers, they start going out. They start asking people if they have food. You're the little boy. You have food. Because you were smart. You thought ahead. And here they are. Anyone got food? You got food? Anyone got food? The master needs food, right? The master needs. And they start getting closer and closer and closer to this little boy. If you were him, what would you have done? Would you have hid the food? Act like, anyone got any food? Would you be reluctant to surrender? You were smart. You planned ahead. You were prepared. And now Jesus is asking for my food. My food. What would you do? Would you hold on to it? Or would you surrender it? Would you surrender it to Jesus? Luke 8:35. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. That's all different parts of your life. Maybe you've surrendered certain things, but not other things. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. What does this boy do? I got some food. I got some food. I want Jesus to have it. So Andrew says, okay. All right, you got some food? Okay, good. What do you got? He opens his little knapsack. 5 little loaves and 2 little fish. And he's like, all right, come on. So he comes. No one else has food or no one else is giving it up. So he brings this little boy to Jesus. He says, Jesus, this little boy has some food. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he says, but what is this for all these people? Made me think of this. I'm going to give this a little example. Right? Because when you think of 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 10,000 people, in our minds, in our human thinking, in our understanding, it's like this. I want you to notice, try to see, does this line change? Did it go up? Did it start overflowing? No, because it's just a drop in the bucket. Five loaves, two fish to feed 10,000 people. It's a drop in the bucket. It doesn't matter. It's insignificant. All of us have felt like that at times. We feel like, well, if we do that, is that really going to make a difference? We feel insignificant. We feel the things we do so small. It doesn't do anything. Yeah, maybe the water just ripples for a second, but then it's gone. Nothing happens. Every person, at times, you feel insignificant. You feel like, yeah, okay, I could do this good for this person, but what does it matter? Because the need, the problem, the issue, it's so huge. It may seem like that to us, but when we surrender it to God, when we surrender it to Jesus, it's not insignificant in His hands. Jesus receives the boy's offering. Jesus receives what the boy had to give up. Jesus joyfully receives what the boy surrendered. And it says, He blesses it and He gives it out. And what does this small, seemingly insignificant, doesn't matter thing do when Jesus touches it? It grows and grows and grows and multiplies and it explodes. So much so that this little boy's five loaves and two fish feed 10,000 people. Not just a little bit, because Jesus multiplies it into abundance. Where in your life do you need Jesus to touch it with His abundance? It feeds 10,000 people so that they're fully satisfied, stuffed. This past week, I wanted to bless our staff. Our leadership wanted to bless our staff and our elders because they work hard. So we treated them to go to Chubby Cattle. Chubby Cattle is this new Japanese barbecue Wagyu restaurant that just opened in Cerritos, and it's all you can eat. So we ate and ate. I had so much Wagyu. We're walking out of that place stuffed, full, right? Full, it was good. It was full. The people on that day were full. I can't eat another bite. And they gather up all the leftovers. Jesus wants you, not just you and your life, but every area of your life. He wants it to be up here. But when we hold on to it and are unwilling to surrender, we live down here. It's kind of like this. I have a picture for you just to give you a visual of what that's like. First one. This is what Jesus wants you to live like. Jesus saved you to soar. Jesus made you to soar. He created you to soar. He put the image of God in you. He gave you a new identity in Jesus. You are holy and blameless before the Lord. You are a child of the King. You have everything already in the Master's house. And He wants you to soar like eagles. He wants every area of your life to be like that. But often when we fail to surrender, this is what we live like. You don't surrender things to Jesus, you live like a turkey. Strutting around, running around with your head, like they said, chicken with your head cut off, trying to just, on the rat race of this life, of this world, trying to survive, trying to make it. You know what happens to turkeys? They get eaten. You're not a turkey. You are not a turkey. You're not made to live like a turkey. That's not why Jesus died for you. He died so you could soar like an eagle. He died so your kids could soar like eagles. Parents, you have to surrender your kids to the Lord. You cannot fully protect them. You have to let them go into His hands. And every finances, your career, your future, how you spend your time, Jesus wants us to surrender all to Him so we can have His life and the life He wants for us. I think I'm going to just stop there. We're going to do the other two. We're going to do serve and shine next week. Nah, I'm going to do serve. I'm going to do serve. I'm going to do serve because, anyway, I want to do it. Okay, second point. Learn to serve like Jesus. That's the one. The first one is surrender, wholehearted surrender. The next one, learn to serve like Jesus. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus is many things. He's King. He's the Son of God. But Jesus is a servant. Jesus, the King, He's a servant. He calls Himself a servant. Not any servant, but the ultimate servant. Because He knows there is great joy in serving others. There is great joy. We are blessed. We are saved to be blessed by God, to be ridiculously blessed, so that you will feel and experience life like I am the most blessed person on all the earth. And God wants you to know and experience His blessing, His favor, His face shining on you, so that you will bless others with His love, with His blessing, with his goodness. There is no greater joy than seeing others blessed. In Acts 20, 35, Paul quotes the words of Jesus. He says this, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." There is such joy when you really understand and experience the blessing of wanting to see others blessed. You know, I'm a grandparent three times over, and we're expecting our fourth in January coming up. And you know what? Having the little grandkids around, it makes all the difference for Christmas. You know, when I was a kid, right, when you're a kid, Christmas, oh my gosh, wake up in the morning, open the presents, tear them open, right? But then in our family, as we had kids, that was so fun when the kids are younger. But then as they get older, they become adults, then, you know, Christmas loses a little something, you know? Exchange gifts. It's okay, here's your gift card. Here's some money, right? Now, at this point, my wife, I don't even have to buy her gifts because she likes to buy her own. So, you know, I gave her a lot this year, right? Because she tells me, this is my Christmas gift. Oh, that too? This is my Christmas present. Oh, that too? Right? But Christmas loses something, right? It loses something until the grandkids came. Now, when they're babies, they're just like, you know, they buy all these stuff for them. They don't know what's going on. But at the age, our grandkids, like our oldest grandkids, Hudson, he's 5, and second one's 3. To see them as grandparents, like opening the gifts, they're so excited. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's like, there's, and you feel that joy of seeing the joy on their face when they're blessed. When we serve others, that's a way we align ourselves with who Jesus is. And we begin to experience his life in us. And we grow to love and be blessed by seeing the joy of others being blessed. You know what that's called? When we grow that heart, when we love seeing others blessed more than us receiving blessing. You know what that's called? The Father's heart. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of the Father. You know, I heard this story a long time ago, and it was just a great story. And it was this family in Minnesota. And they were having like a tremendous snowstorm in Minnesota. And so this family, there was a father, mother, and then they had 2 young boys. They got snowed in their house for like a week. And the boys were going crazy, right? You get that cabin fever. The boys were going crazy because they were cooped up, right? They couldn't go outside. They were snowed in for a whole week, right? And then the dad says, okay, boys, I promise as soon as the weather clears up, I promise to take you to your favorite arcade place. Because they love this arcade. They go, okay, dad, you promise? Yeah, I promise. So they're waiting day after day, and then finally the snow clears, the clouds clear, the sun comes out, right? And he clears the driveway. They go, Dad, you promised. Let's go. We want to go. He goes, okay, let's go. We're going to go. So he gets the boys in the car. They start driving along the road. And they're all excited. They're like, I'm going to play this game. It's so much fun. We're going to get all these tickets. We're going to get all these prizes. You know, we're talking about it in the drive there. And then the car starts slowing down. And it starts pulling over to the side of the road. And they go, Dad, what's going on? We want to get there. He goes, boys, see that car? That car is stuck in the snowbank. And I just feel like I just want us to see if someone needs help. Oh, Dad, you promised. We waited a whole week. They go, oh, boys, just take a minute. Let's just get out and see if that person needs help, and then we'll go, okay? So then the dad gets out of the car. He goes up to the the snow, the car stuck in the snow. He knocks on the window, and then rolling down the window, it's an elderly lady. And he says, "Oh, do you need some help?" She goes, "Oh my gosh, I've been here for an hour." And she was cold and she was scared. He goes, I didn't know what to do. This was before they had cell phones. I didn't know what to do. And so he says, "You know what? I have a tow chain in my car. So we can help tow you out." She goes, "Oh, really? Are you sure you could?" She goes, "Yeah, we'll help you." He says, "Boys, right? We'll help her." They go, Yeah, we'll help you. So they get the chain on the car, and then they work and work, and then they tow the car out, and then the car's free. And then they go back, and then she's tears running down her face. She's, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't come along and stopped." And she says, here, I want to give you some money. I want to bless you. I want to reward you. I want to just give you some money." And then the dad goes, No, ma'am. She goes, "No, please, I want to give you some." "No, we just wanted to help you. Right, boys?" And they go, "Oh, yeah, no. We just wanted to help. We saw you on the side. I told my dad, we should stop and help this person." Right? And then she goes, "Okay, thank you so much. You saved my life today." And she gets in her car. She drives off. The dad and the boys get back in the car. He goes, "Okay, boys, thanks for letting me do that. Sorry, it took longer than I thought. Let's go to the arcade now." Not a sound. They start driving down the road. And he goes, "Boys, are you okay? I'm sorry, we'll get there right now. We're going there to the arcade right now." Not a sound. They drive a little bit farther. He goes, "Boys, I'm so sorry. The lady needed our help. So I'll make it up to you." And then the older boy says, "Dad, do you think you could drive around and see if there's anyone else stuck in the snow that we could help?" The younger boy says, "Yeah, Dad, that was so much fun. Let's go look for more cars." And they drive off looking for more cars to help. That day, those boys felt the Father's heart. They felt what Father God feels for each and every one of you and every person. That was the heart behind him being willing to sacrifice his son so that you and others could be blessed, because he knows the joy of seeing others blessed. This year, we are, as a whole church, starting in February, we're going to go through this series called the Serving Challenge. It's a serving challenge by Pastor Zach Zender, and I forgot the book, it's over there, but we're going to go through his booklet, and we're going to go through a preaching series, and then all the small groups, or most of the small groups, they're going to be going through this material. I want to encourage you to join in this series, because growing in being a servant is a way we experience more of the heart of Jesus. And when you see the joy, and when you grow in that joy of seeing other people blessed, you will grow in the heart of the Father for other people and for you. And so we're going to start in February, and it's going to go probably February through May. We're going to go through the serving series. Dale's outside. If you're not in a small group, there are small groups that have space available. We'll even start a small group. If there's not a small group, we'll start a small group so you can go through this series. Because our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, our best friend, our first love, Jesus is a servant. And we are servants too. And he wants us to know the blessing of serving. Okay, that's it. I'm going to finish there. Okay. But today I thought I wanted us to start the new year by taking communion together. And we're going to do it a little bit differently because I wanted us to do it corporately, take communion all together. So if you look under your chair, if you're in the front here, there should be extra ones. So look under your chair for communion. If you see extra ones next to you, bring them up front so they can have them. Everyone have one? I think everyone has one. Okay, let me just say a word first before taking communion. What this represents, it represents remembering what Jesus has done for us, right? And so in Matthew 26, 26 through 28, it says, while they were eating, this was while the disciples were eating in the Last Supper in the upper room, before Jesus was just getting ready to be arrested and go to crucifixion. So they were having a final meal together. And so while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. So when we take this, the bread represents Jesus' body broken for us, dying on the cross for us, so that all our sin and all of that could be forgiven. And then the juice represents the blood of the Jesus shed for the forgiveness of all of our sins, okay? And so I want to just say a word that if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you've never received him, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, if you've never acknowledged you need Jesus and you have sinned and that you need forgiveness, this won't mean anything to you because this is remembering what he's done for you. And so if you've never done that, then I would probably encourage you not to take this. But if you're feeling like, you know what, I want to soar like an eagle. I want that kind of life that Jesus promises. I want the life that Jesus promises because he died for me and then he was raised from the dead. I want that resurrection life. Then after service or during the worship time, you could just come up to me, Pastor Ross, Pastor Kyle in the back, any one of us, and we'll pray with you to receive Jesus because that's the first step for you. For everyone else, we're going to take communion together, okay? And we're going to do it. And I wrote out a corporate prayer of dedication for 2026, okay? And so I'm going to put it on the board. Let's put it up there. All right? And so those little hashes, that's where we're going to pause, okay? So I'm going to say it, and then you repeat after, all right? And so I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to pray this prayer together. And this is really committing our hearts, our minds, who we are to the Lord for this year, for the vision of surrendering, serving, and shining this year, okay? So let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you've done for us. Father, we are so blessed because of your heart for us and all that you've done and all that you are. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and move. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would quicken our hearts, our souls, our spirits right now, so that as we verbalize and utter these prayers, you would acknowledge and receive that prayer and respond in our lives this year in amazing, powerful, incredible ways to help us to surrender our lives, to serve and learn to serve as you serve, and to shine the face of God to those around us. So Holy Spirit, come, prepare our hearts, quicken our hearts, and let every word from our mouth, Lord, in faith, be the green light for you to move in our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's take the, you could lift up the top and take out the little wafer representing the body. Just hold this in your hand. Okay, so we're going to repeat this prayer, right? In this year, 2026, I invite the Holy Spirit to have full access to my heart. I want to surrender every part so I can soar and live Jesus' life. I receive God's full blessing and favor and love. Help me to serve others as you have served me. I want to experience your face shining upon me every day. So I will shine upon all those around me. Amen. Okay, let's take the bread. Jesus, thank you for surrendering your body. Thank you, you allowed your physical body to be broken for our sake. And Lord, you say